This is the Bartholomew Town Podcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome into the Bartholomew Town Podcast. I'm Bill Bartholomew. You know, it's hard to believe that we are now just a little over a week away from the Newport Folk Festival, which, as you know, listeners over the last several years to this podcast or anybody who knows me knows is something that I not only love, but also see as just one of our great exports here in Rhode Island. And it's a great event on so many levels. Now look, it sells out faster than you can even imagine. Before a single artist is announced, the event sells out. And I think that is, you know, obviously that is partially because the size and intimacy of the festival allows for, you know, your core base to be competing for admission to the event. And that is a unique situation. You know, a lot of the big festivals internationally, of course, you know, you've got tens of thousands of people in attendance. Newport Folk, it's around 10,000 at Fort Adams. So that makes it a really, really special event, but it also obviously creates a situation where getting a ticket is pretty difficult. And it's one of those things that it's kind of the trade-off of having it at the site, Fort Adams, which just a few years ago, the state and the Newport Festivals Foundation signed at something like a 20-year lease to keep the event at Fort Adams for the long term. But as regular listeners know, the festival preview is something that we have done pretty often here. I think pretty much every year, maybe not the first year I was doing the podcast back in 2018, but since then we've done a festival preview in one way, shape, or form, sometimes with guests from the media, people who cover the festival, sometimes with festival producers themselves, sometimes with artists. And this year I figured, you know what, I'm just going to sit down at the mic and I'm just going to go through the lineup. A couple of things to jump out, I'm going to talk about it. And just be you and me here as I kind of preview the folk festival. And there's a lot more coverage coming later this week on the radio. We're going to talk about the socio-political overtones of this year's event, which, you know, look, there's something to the notion of putting that forward as almost like a brand identity element, which I think at its essence, folk music is that. You know, it's in the same school as punk or hip hop in that sense. You know, it's fundamental to the medium, understanding the socio-political environment and reflecting on that. And really, all art is that, right? I mean, let's be honest. But very specifically, that's what is represented in the storytelling that you hear in this broad, very intangible terminology, I guess, or term, folk. And that's exactly what Newport Folk is. But that socio-political overtone, that'll be an interesting conversation on the radio on Friday at 5 o'clock. So tune in. 99.7 FM, AM 630. And some artists as well, as has been the case several of the last years. But as I look through this year's lineup, you know, what's exciting, and if you're going, this is something you might listen to and say, you know what, I don't really care what he says. You know, I'm going to do whatever I want. Or you might listen to this and just say, oh, that's interesting. You know, because there's a lot of artists on here that are to the festival itself, and probably to most of you, would be my guess, are fairly new. You know, the festival has kind of its own internal stars and climate and musical environment that exists kind of in its own space. It's an amalgamation of obviously great artists, you know, truly all-time great artists, and in that sense, a fairly mainstream approach with, you know, different worlds, the indie rock world, the sort of revivalist folk world, the neo-traditional country world a little bit, the blues world, certainly in its origins it had quite a bit, now it has some of that, the quote-unquote indie folk world, alt-country, you know, just in some cases pop or a more experimental sound. It all kind of fuses together under this very specific brand. And this lineup is very, very reflective of that, of that combination of different styles. And I see Taj Mahal playing on Friday. You know, talk about that legendary, just all-time great act. Taj Mahal, 155 on the fourth stage. I mean, that is... You talk about somebody who is a genre-leading performer in a fusion sort of oriented space specifically, and just an all-time great artist who is, I suppose, one of those artists that could perform at either folk or jazz festival and make complete sense. On Friday at 2:50, Dinosaur Jr. is playing. You know, Dinosaur Jr. is interesting to me. A lot of people, it would assume that they're one of those bands that I've listened to my whole life. And I have, of course, known Dinosaur Jr.'s music and Jay Maskus, and it's been there. But it really was only in the last 10 years or so that they became kind of a part of my musical diet on a regular basis. And what's specifically cool about Dinosaur Jr. is that they're just one of those enduring indie bands. You know, never really even crossed into the quote-unquote mainstream radio alternative world. They did to an extent with one single, but has just survived as an institution. A unique indie rock, guitar-oriented, very musical, very hooky band. And then also on Friday, Japanese Breakfast. And she is just one of the absolute leaders of a renewed, interesting, experimental, accessible version of woman-fronted indie rock, indie pop music. Unique and independent of Mitski and Sharon Van Etten and others in that idiom. But also, again, a part of that and very much a leader. John Moreland, awesome songwriter, also on Friday. Really, really beautiful, passionate, soulful music that is kind of hard to describe, but at the same time is very familiar. Then Goose on Friday as well. A lot of people in the jam world, you know, I'm not really part of the jam circuit. I'm not part of the jam circuit at all. You know, I respect it. I've kind of dipped my toes in that world, the jam band scene. You know, I've never seen Fish. You know, I've seen the Grateful Dead new incarnation, you know, when they were called the Other Ones. But I've never seen Fish. I've never been a part of that. A lot of people say Goose are the heir apparent to Fish in that world. Also on Friday, Courtney Barnett. What a great songwriter. Someone who really emerged in the indie world and someone who was big in Brooklyn and then became very big at the Folk Festival and has crossed into a lot of different cool spaces. And I remember when Courtney Barnett first came to New York for CMJ Festival, which used to take place in the fall. It was kind of similar to South by Southwest, but smaller. And she didn't have a great band. It really wasn't that well received. You know, it didn't really meet the hype. You know, she just kind of had, just didn't hit with the same emphasis you were hoping for. And then she came back the next year with, I think, the band that she has now, and had just grown so much as a performer. And it was like, all right, this is the real deal. Forget about it. Felice Brothers, National, two other, you know, somewhat big time, especially the National, obviously, acts that close out Friday. Saturday looks great. Midlake, a band that I'm definitely a proponent of, and has just a really cool sound. I think you really like them. They're at 12:05 over on the Harbor stage. Bonnie Light Horseman, great collaborative effort, tight project, beautiful harmonies, great, great, great drumming, great songs. You know, Lucius, another band that, you know, I remember seeing them on the cover of the Village Voice and being like, all right, well, they earned that. And now they are stars of the Folk Festival and of the, to a certain extent, the indie world still. Something called American Tune Review will take place on the fourth stage, the main stage, to close out Saturday. That'll be interesting. Those things are always magical, right? Well, for the most part, they're always magical. 9 out of 10 times, that Folk Fest sort of unannounced headline type of space, some kind of review, some kind of something that's special, that's going to be extremely unique and specific to that particular moment in time. At least what you're watching is musical history at a certain level, but it's always you're always on your toes wondering how can it top previous iterations of that? How can it hit me in this moment? And you just kind of wonder what that will be. American Tune Review closing out Saturday night. I definitely would say you want to make sure you stick around on Saturday. All right, Sunday at noon over on the fourth stage, the big stage, Sierra Ferrell. Now, Sierra Ferrell is probably my favorite artist performing at Folk Festival this year in terms of a contemporary artist. I mean, I first discovered her at last year's Newport Folk Festival. She was playing on the little busking stage, and I was like, this person's a star. Has an incredible voice, just a killer look. She's fierce, bold, powerful, fun, and has this I mean, it's in many ways neo-traditional type music. You know, it's obviously, it's got like a bluegrassy, you know, Appalachian flavor to it. But it just stings with an element of punk and stings with an element of, you know, what this world needs. And she is powerful, and I'm not surprised at all that she has just exploded in the last year, had a great image sort of rebirth that was very, very authentic and just tightened up, I think, what she was already going for. Awesome artist. Noon on Sunday. The great artist Valerie June, also on Sunday. Lots of great artists. Daka Braka from Ukraine. They're playing Sunday at 1:15. I'll actually be interviewing them on the podcast sometime in August. We had that pre-planned. I'm very interested in the fact that, you know, you're at the one of the conflicts in the world that are taking place right now, and the one that has arguably been played out in the media and just on a daily basis at one point. So I think that'll be a really interesting conversation, and I'm very excited to see them at 1:15 on Sunday. The Linda Lindas, cool band, 1:30. Joy Oladokun, who Governor McKee introduced last year on the main stage, she's playing this year, 2:45 on the quad stage. Blake Mills, of course, you know, just a great guitarist, producer. He's at 3:40 on the Harbor stage. The Roots, of course, you know, one of those bands I've seen a zillion times. 4:00 on the fourth stage. Maren Morris, wonderful country artist, on the quad stage at 4:05. Anais Mitchell, beautiful folk artist, the Harbor stage, 5:05. Trampled by Turtles, just one of those bands that some people just absolutely love. Not really my thing, but they're an amazing band. And then Brandi Carlile and Friends closing out Folk Fest on Sunday at 5:45 on the fourth stage. And Brandi Carlile obviously has exploded, has been growing and growing and growing and growing for decades as an artist, both artistically and in terms of popularity, and is in many ways the queen of the folk festival. I think that some people would say that Mavis Staples has that honor. I think that it's probably become, we'll say, one of the faces of the folk festival. How about that? Then we don't have to take anything back from Mavis Staples. You know. But just a very, very, very definitive artist, and somebody I think most people would like. You know, favorability rating of a Brandi Carlile is pretty high, I think. Very few people wouldn't like her music. Now, another thing about Folk Festival is obviously you got the after parties. Tallest Man on Earth at the Pickens Theater is one. I know Deer Tick's doing something Sunday night. Got a guy from Mumford & Sons, what's his name? Marcus Mumford? He's doing one. Goose is also performing an after party. And those are always, I mean, they're almost impossible to get in. Very, very low capacity events for the magnitude of artists at hand. But there's also some, and has been something that I participated in just about every year, and that is the underground after party current. And there's a lot of cool things going on. I know I'm performing each night, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I guess, actually, an event called Bliss that takes place in a residential situation, both a beautiful backyard as well as an indoor stage, and it's in its second year. Something that is totally, I think, a really cool amalgamation of the local Providence and Newport communities. That's just sort of, you know, it's obviously not an official after party or anything like that, but it's just a great place for people to go who don't have access, didn't get tickets, aren't working in one way, shape, or form, aren't performing at the actual folk festival inside of Fort Adams. And it's just a great place to kind of convene and keep that energy moving with people, with some locals. And the acts vary from, you know, people who had performed at the folk festival at one point and national songwriter type characters to, like, you know, some of the newer up and coming artists in Newport and Providence. It's this great blend that I'm excited to be a part of. And like I said, I'm playing in one way, shape, or form each night, drumming with some bands and then doing my own set as well. So you can message me, Bill at ripodcast.com, if you're interested in that. But overall, the underground community, which, you know, shows up at the open mic stage inside the folk festival, does a lot of busking around town. Sometimes that turns into new performers at the festival, you know. But it's not official, it's not sanctioned, I'm sure, on paper, even in practice. You know, Newport Festivals Foundation would probably not say, hey, we love the fact that there's, I don't know this, I mean, this may actually not be true at all, but, you know, unofficial events going on. You know, and I've played a lot of different parties and stuff like that, and events at venues, and, you know, they're always very, very special, and they feel, you know, the community's alive, and you feel like the national and international spotlight or stage has landed here in Rhode Island as a performer, as someone going to see those shows. So don't discount that either. If you're in town, you know, you can't get into any of the official after parties, you want to keep it going, message me and I'll give you that address. And it last year, I mean, the first edition was great. I mean, it was just absolutely freaking great, and a great celebration of our local community, but kind of in this special way. You know, really presented just so beautifully in the outdoor stage, a lot of singer-songwriters and hip-hop performers and some bands, and just a cool event. So message me about that. But there you go. That's, you know, whenever I record a podcast at night, which I'm doing this one, it's very rare. Most episodes are obviously recorded during the daytime, early in the day, and, well, not early, but 9 or 10 a.m., so anytime I hop on the mic at night, it's because I just said, you know what, I'm going to do it. You know, this isn't planned. I had thought about doing this for the preview. I had a couple of things in mind, and I was like, you know what, I know we got a week to go, but next week's a very busy week on the podcast, politics-wise. In fact, every week henceforth, besides this coverage here, I mean, we're in election season, and I'm going to have some announcements soon about the debate series that I talked about, kind of hinted at, and it's going to happen. So there will be a Bartholomew Town debate series for, you name it, governor, mayor, lieutenant governor, treasurer, and pretty much all the candidates have confirmed that they're going to be a part of it. So that's coming up. And next week, we're going to wrap up some of the one-on-one interviews with the various candidates for governor and Congress. And I'm going to be in music mode for the second half of the week with the festival, with performing. I mean, I'm in music mode now, too, but obviously just overdrive. And then we'll see on the other side of the festival, because that's when it's going to pick up. As of today, I'm taping this thing on the 13th. We're 2 months out from the primary here in Rhode Island. 2 months out. And some of the candidates have a long, long way to go if they're going to have any shot at creating any kind of, not even win, but meaningful impact on the race. and they need to be prepared, and they are prepared for the most part, but to understand that people are going to be tuned into things like the Folk Festival and other outdoor summer activities here in Rhode Island, and it's going to be very, very difficult to get people's attention. You're going to have to go into overdrive from the end of August until Election Day on the 13th of September. So if you're going to the Folk Festival, you're going to be around Newport, whatever you're going to be doing this weekend, next weekend in the case of the Folk Festival, but whatever you're going to be doing for the next couple of weekends as you relax, I'll be joining you as much as possible. And on the other side, in mid-August, you know, things are going to heat up. We're going to have the debate series. We're going to have a ton of analysis from all your favorite pundits. And we're going to do it right here on the Bartholomew Town Podcast. Also on the radio on WPRO. And, you know, I'm just glad to be able to take a step back and reflect. And I started today's radio show with some reflections on music because Bramwell Tovey, the conductor of the Rhode Island Philharmonic, had passed away today. So I spent about the first half hour of today's radio show from 3 to 3:30 just reflecting on music as a connector. And that would be the way to honor Bramwell Tovey, is to go out and see, you know, the high school band or middle school band, you know, orchestra in your town, or your friend that's been bugging you to come see their show. Maybe go see them, you know. Or if you just, you know, not felt inclined to do anything related to music and arts in general, maybe take a shot on it. And I'm glad the Folk Festival is here, because with everything coming up, quite frankly, it's going to be great. And everything that's been going on, I mean, let's be clear, let's be honest about this. This has been, anybody's telling you that politically this hasn't been something insane with what's going on with the January 6th hearings, what has taken place with Supreme Court decisions. I mean, this is mind-numbing. So I'm very, very excited for the upcoming Newport Folk and Jazz Festivals, which I'm going to do some version of a preview of as well. And of course, I'll be at the festivals next weekend and the weekend after. I'll be there. You know, I don't go too crazy. I mean, I did a handful of interviews at the event last year at Folk Festival. Do a little social media stuff. My main purpose there is to experience it and be able to reflect on it in recaps after. I'll do a podcast kind of recapping what we saw and throw some of those interviews in there. But mostly to just use it as an example of what's possible here in Rhode Island. And with a report coming out today that we're the 45th worst state in the country to do business, it's time we look at the things that are working and quadruple down on them. And a big part of that's the entertainment industry, specifically music. It works. And the Newport Folk and Jazz Festivals are just two of several key examples of that. All right, everybody. Well, have a tremendous Thursday and Friday. Remember, I'm on radio this week, on today, Thursday, and Friday, 3 to 6, and on Saturday, as always, on Saturday at 3 p.m. And I look forward to talking to you next week here on the podcast as we welcome in several candidates. We'll be joined by Helena Bonanno Folks on Tuesday, and then we're going to dip into the congressional race for the next couple episodes after that. Rhode Island's podcast of record, Bartholomew Town.
At HealthSource RI for Employers, we provide access to health insurance to more than 1,100 local businesses and nonprofits, and 96% of them renew through us every year. Maybe it's our choice of 19 different health plans, our 10 years of customizing solutions, or our one local team of dedicated experts helping employers find quality health insurance. See how our numbers stack up for you. Learn more at healthsourceri.com/employers.